She'd only been gone a short while, just long enough to grab a bite to eat. But when she returned, something had changed. There'd been rumours that this had happened before, to one or two of her neighbours, but she never imagined it would happen to her. Because where there was once four, now there was only one. This sounds like the opening of a detective story, but the crime scene here is at Wickham Fen in Cambridgeshire. And the victim? A tiny bird called a reed warbler. Today, Ranger Ajay Tagala heads out onto the fens to investigate one of nature's most outrageous deceptions. I'm Rosie Holdsworth, and you're listening to Wild Tales, The Great Cuckoo Con. Wickham Fen in Cambridgeshire is one of Britain's oldest nature reserves. More than 9,000 species have been recorded here, making it one of Europe's most important wetland sites. Every spring, thousands of birds return here from Africa to breed, and it's here, hidden amongst the reeds, that one of nature's most extraordinary stories unfolds. To discover how it all works, ranger and naturalist Ajay Tagala is heading out onto the fen.
Right, we've just left the visitor centre onto sunny, lush green Wickham Fen, my local patch. We're walking alongside the water here. There's lots of green shoots of reeds that are blowing in the breeze. But this is summer, this is June. This is when the fen's really full of life, full of colour. And it's got that really kind of wetland, wild feel about it. Sun shining a little bit, lots of white fluffy clouds in the sky. It's quite relaxing as well. I can hear distant birdsong, and hopefully we'll hear some more as we get a bit further onto the fen. The reeds here that are growing by the water, they're really tall. They're taller than our heads. They're about 7-8 feet tall. The brown golden ones are last year's with the feathery tops. And then we've got this year's growth, the kind of bright green, almost looks like bamboo, the way the leaves branch off. And there's birdsong coming from the reeds.
Among these towering reeds lives a bird that most of us will never notice, the reed warbler. And every spring it returns here to build a nest, lay its eggs and rear its young. And it's here that our tale begins.
I'm just gently parting the reeds to have a look inside, because this is the kind of place, exactly the kind of place, about head height, a little bit lower, where the reed warblers could be making their nests. So reed warblers, they're the classic little brown job, not very distinctive, but they do have a really beautiful, very energetic song. They'll sing for long passages with the sort of chirpy notes and some buzzes as well. It's quite varied and very continuous. They put a lot of energy into that song, and it can be heard throughout the day and sometimes even into the evening as well. That is a reed warbler in there, I'm sure. It is quite dense, this area of reeds. There's lots of stems. And I can't see a nest immediately in front of us. It's probably best not to disturb it anyway. But what I have got is one that was found a previous year after it had been finished with. What we've got is we've got five different stems, these bamboo-like stems of the reed. And between them is this tiny, intricately woven nest of fine grasses. There's spider webs in there. It's been woven together in a tight cup. The size, I mean, it can fit in the palm of my hand. Really soft and cushioned for those eggs, but quite deep, quite steep-sided as well, so that they don't drop out into the water, of course. It's a work of art, it really is. It's absolutely beautiful.
Hidden deep within the reeds, these tiny nests are almost impossible to find, which makes what happens next all the more remarkable. Because every spring, another bird also returns to Wickham Fen, and it's a bird that most of us know by sound alone.
At this time of year, from May into June, one of the iconic sounds of the fen that I always love to hear is the call of the cuckoo. There's something about cuckoos that for hundreds of years they've always signalled spring when they arrive in late April. And years ago people used to write into their newspapers and proudly say they'd heard the first cuckoo of the spring. So it's one of those sounds that signals a change in the seasons and a happy time because we're coming to that warm, sunny, in theory, time of the year. But it's just the male that makes the cuckoo sound. Very rarely seen because they're secretive birds, the females especially. But a cuckoo is a call that when you hear it, it sticks in your mind. It's just something to enjoy and savour.
To us, it's simply the sound of spring. But for the reed warbler, that familiar call means life is about to get a lot more complicated.
So many people walk along this path every day, but the vast majority of them won't realise that somewhere in the trees alongside the path, there'll be a female cuckoo waiting and watching. Like a hawk, she'll have found exactly where a newly made reed warbler nest is located, and she'll be looking to see when the eggs have been laid. And the female reed warbler will have laid, say, 4 eggs, and there'll be a moment where the nest is unattended and the female cuckoo will decide to swoop. She arrives at the nest and in her beak she'll pick out one of the reed warbler eggs and drop it into the water nearby, and then lays her own egg in its space.
The switch itself takes a matter of seconds. The nest now holds 3 reed warbler eggs and 1 cuckoo egg. But for the deception to succeed, the cuckoo's egg must be an almost perfect match.
Will be the same browny colour, the same shape and the same size, because it's key that it looks just like the reed warbler's egg, so it doesn't arise any suspicion at all.
This deception isn't unique to reed warblers. Across Britain, female cuckoos specialise in different host species. Some target meadow pipits, others choose entirely different birds. Over generations, their eggs have evolved to closely resemble those of their chosen host. Here at Wickham Fen, our female cuckoo has played her hand. Now it's time to move on.
She'll then fly away, and she looks a bit like a sparrowhawk, a bird of prey. She's got kind of a stripy breast, a long tail, and she'll even make a note, a sort of an alarm call that sounds just like a sparrowhawk. So if the reed warbler sees her, she'll think, oh gosh, there's a sparrowhawk. And that will distract her, completely oblivious to the fact that one of her eggs has been replaced with a cuckoo egg.
The deception is complete. The reed warbler settles back on her eggs, unaware that one of her eggs has been swapped. And while she's busy incubating her clutch, the female cuckoo is already searching for her next nest.
It's such a specialised behaviour for the female cuckoo to lay that egg in just a few seconds, but also be ready and have that egg developed inside her when it needs to be laid. That's just incredibly mind-blowing. But also the fact that it doesn't just happen once. She will lay sometimes over 20 different eggs throughout the course of a few weeks. And that's what she puts all her energy into over the months of May and June, is to doing that perfect mimicry several times.
But sometimes it doesn't always go the cuckoo's way.
Clearly the cuckoo is very clever. But does she always get away with it? Well, not always, because the reed warblers aren't silly. The operation has to be orchestrated perfectly by the cuckoo in order to fool the reed warbler. And there'll be certain times where, if they don't get it quite right or if they get noticed, then the reed warbler will become suspicious.
And if that happens, the reed warbler rejects the egg. So for the cuckoo, success is never guaranteed.
The reason we know so much about this cuckoo behaviour is thanks to the wonderful work of Professor Nick Davis, who's spent many, many years right here on this very part of Wickham Fen, watching their behaviour, studying them, and finding out exactly what goes on here.
His research has helped to shine a light on one of nature's most remarkable breeding strategies. It's known as brood parasitism, and it occurs throughout the natural world. But back here at Wickham Fen, the next chapter is about to unfold.
We're walking towards the old tower hide now. It's a bit more open here, you can hear the wind. So as we walk along here, we're walking past different territories. There's dozens of reed warblers nesting all along this waterway. There's a reed warbler. just drop down into the reeds there. I bet somewhere in there will be a nest. So for all we know, a female cuckoo might have just been in while she was away and she wouldn't know. There we are. We're about 1 kilometre from the visitor centre and there's this wonderful tall old tower hide that was built in 1956. These little holes in the side were made by woodpeckers. It's a great bit of wood for woodpeckers to drum against to make their sound carry across the fen. So yeah, it serves many purposes, but we'll go inside and go to the top and get a view of the fen. I really love the smell in here. And then we've got this steep set of steps we'll navigate up. We're now at the top of the old tower hide, which has to be one of my favourite views across the fen. And we're looking down on the waterway where the reed warblers will be nesting. It's almost like a cuckoo's eye view, really, because this is what the female cuckoo will be seeing.
Down below in the reeds, the reed warbler patiently incubates her eggs, unaware that everything is about to change. And it's here that our story takes its darkest turn.
After about 12 days of being incubated by the reed warbler, the cuckoo egg hatches. And the small chick, still blind, not yet having developed its feathers, instinctively does something very sinister. It arches its back and, using its wings, it leans forward, creates a ridge. And what it does is it shuffles an egg, one of the reed warbler eggs, into that groove in the back, and then it kind of pushes it so that it drops out of the nest. And it will then do that again and again until all of the eggs have gone.
Its grisly task complete, the cuckoo chick finally has the nest to itself.
Believing that this is their own chick that's hatched from their own egg, the reed warbler parents busily feed the hungry cuckoo. And this is one of the really clever things. The young cuckoo chick makes a call that mimics multiple reed warblers, so it sounds like a whole nest full of hungry chicks. And this prompts those adult reed warblers to continue day and night to catch as many insects as possible.
Every passing day, the cuckoo chick grows larger. The reed warbler parents continue to feed it until it's spilling out of the tiny nest. But where are the cuckoo's real parents? Well, by early July, they've already begun their long journey back to Africa. Having completed laying all their eggs in the host nests, their work here is done. The job of raising their youngster has been left entirely to the reed warblers.
After 3 weeks, the cuckoo chick is 3 times the size of the reed warbler parents. So these poor little birds are feeding this chick that's so much bigger than themselves.
But for the now exhausted reed warblers, relief is finally in sight.
As the nights start to draw in and summer reaches its end, the cuckoo is ready to fly. Its wings are strong enough to begin taking to the air. But where does it go? Without adult cuckoos to direct it, it begins an incredible journey. Amazingly, on its own, it will fly about 5,000 miles to the Congo in Africa. And there it will join the adult cuckoos that have arrived there many weeks before, and they'll spend the winter in this distant part of the globe.
And there they will remain until spring calls them north once more, and the whole cycle begins again.
Looking down on the fen landscape and seeing where all this drama plays out, I sort of reflect on how amazing it is that the cuckoos behave in this way. It's easy to think they're terrible parents, but they're really clever. They are really clever. The fact they don't have to raise their own young, that gives them more time to feed and to fly and to go about their life cycle. Whereas the poor reed warblers, they have to raise a chick that isn't their own. But it's not that bad, even though that does sound terrible. They will often be multi-brooded, which means they'll lay maybe 2 different clutches of eggs in a season. And so if one of them is parasitized by a cuckoo, the other one probably won't be, because there are far more reed warblers than cuckoos.
It's easy to see the cuckoo as the villain in this story. but it isn't trying to deceive the reed warbler. It's simply following instincts that have been shaped over millions of years by evolution. The real surprise is that it's the cuckoo that's in trouble. Over the last 50 years, Britain's cuckoo population has fallen by around two-thirds. Scientists believe that a warming climate, earlier springs, increasingly difficult migration routes, and dwindling food supplies are all making life much harder for this remarkable bird. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you've enjoyed it, why not give us a follow or a review? And if you'd like to find out more about the cuckoos and reed warblers at Wickham Fen, then head to the episode show notes. I'm Rosie Holdsworth. Goodbye.